Hi, Mark.
Tony.
How are you?
I'm all right. Winter's coming, I reckon.
Yes, the Starks were right.
Exactly. It's It's almost jacket season.
Well, we're kind of in betwixt right now. You're jacketless, and I am jacketed.
I debated it.
You debated it.
On the way here.
Yes. What was?
Well, before I left, actually. I wasn't in the car.
Take me through the debate.
It was...
Okay, let's role play the debate in your head. Can I be the voice of summer, okay? And you be the voice of winter in your head going, oh.
Ooh, might need a jacket.
Oh, nah, just... I love having my limbs free and open. I haven't worn underwear for like 3 months. My dick is just slanging about.
Wait, is this on my channel or your channel? So we're on my channel and within 30 seconds we're already talking about your schlong.
No, we're talking about your schlong.
You are talking about my schlong.
Yeah, I'm the voice of summer in your head talking about
your... You're the voice of my schlong.
Yeah, you're slanging that dick round.
Hey, Dad. If you want to switch off.
What's up, Gaz?
I won't blame you. That's Tony, eh?
There's another hour of this. Yeah.
Wow. Can I just say?
You can say.
Probably across the board.
Yes.
One of the greatest weekends of rugby in recent memory.
Yeah, very good weekend. No, what are you doing here?
Super Rugby was cracking.
I know.
Six Nations was cracking.
I'm not.
There were no crap games.
100%. But I'm not objecting to that. But I feel like with...
You were too talking, soon to go into rugby.
Yeah,
we need to get back to schlong chat.
I know. Okay. Like I started talking about slanging that dick round, you know, a bit of shit chat, and then
right. I went straight into the rugby.
We're like 3 minutes, like less than a minute in. You're talking about rugby.
Oh, sorry.
What podcast? Is this a proper rugby podcast?
Yeah, true.
Have you put us onto a proper rugby podcast? It was a very good weekend of rugby.
You watched some?
I watched more than I could handle. Really? Yeah. And I was like, and it didn't feel like a chore.
No.
Sometimes I was in this job, but it's not a job really, but in this, yours is a job, but when what we do, you're like, oh God, I have to watch bloody Italy versus Scotland. Italy versus Scotland. And I'm thinking, I don't want to watch that.
Sorry, Scottish fans, and the couple of Italians who tune in.
No interest in watching it because you think you know what the result's going to be. And you think it's probably, if they both play badly, it's going to be a bit of a shocker of a game. But no, that was...
It was a banger.
An absolute banger. It's one I didn't watch fully, but I watched most of the games. How's that?
It's not bad for you.
Yeah. Well, we'll go through them at some stage. But tell me more about you. Like, because I want to really veer off the track from rugby for a moment. Some viewers may have noticed that we didn't have a podcast last week.
This is true. You were away gallivanting.
I was gallivanting in Fiji, of all places.
That's why you're in the jacket, because you were like, New Zealand, it's cold.
I came back and it was freezing because it was like 34 degrees and people should not be playing rugby over there right now.
But they are.
As the Crusaders found out. I want to talk about that, but like that's a serious... That's one of the key advantages for the Fijians is the climate. It is insane. I played 2 rounds of golf over there, 2 9-holes.
And you were knackered.
Oh, I was.
Your schlong.
Schlong was looking great because it's so hot that everything just sort of expands out and just sort of.
You were swinging more than just golf
swinging
clubs.
That dick round. I was like, use this as a putter. on the 18th, I'm like, put your pants back on. No.
What island were you on?
I was just on the main island. I was on Yanutha. Yanutha, which is just off the main island.
Okay.
Which is accessible by a land bridge, essentially.
Okay.
But had a great time over there in Fiji. It's a lovely people. Very, very hot. So, yeah, did 2 9-holes. And it was like, you know how there's like those ultra marathons that people run in the hottest places on earth just to be the hardest? But I felt like I was doing that.
Playing golf.
Just playing golf.
In Fiji.
Just drenched in sweat. I like went out to... We went to the lovely Fijian lady to get a green time, and she looked at us like, you stupid white guys, why you want to play golf in this? Like,
even she thought that.
Yeah, because she knows that we're white.
Ah, and okay.
Even you see the Fijians walking around, and they'll walk around under the trees all the time, because it's just brutal, the sun. You know?
Okay. Having lived in China, in Wuhan, which is known as one of China's three furnaces.
And one of the hot, steamy spots.
I feel it. I remember. Being from New Zealand, we've got a pretty mild climate over here.
We do.
The worst we get is a fair bit of rain.
Yeah, and when it's hot, it's like 27, 28. Yeah, I mean, and people are like, oh, I'm stinking hot.
Yeah, I know. It is genuinely very hot under the sun here. It's very easy to get sunburned, but it's not like you walk 10 yards and you're suddenly drenched in sweat.
Drenched in sweat, yeah.
No.
I had a terrible experience. I bet my brother in golf each year, Simon, for the first time ever.
Oh, he went as well?
Yeah. Well, the whole family went. Brother's sisters, went from my mother's 70th. All the kids and stuff. Right. It was great. Little family trip. But I bet him for the first time ever, and we had to hire clubs over there and stuff. And I was walking back to my room and I was just giving him shit the whole way, going, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa.
Oh, such a perfect day.
Like, just singing this sort of shit to him all the way back, just trying to rub it in. And just as I got to my room, I realized that I left my wallet in the golf bag, which was about a kilometer walk. Yeah. So I had to walk back.
It's tail between
your
legs.
Stinking hot, like, middle of the day.
Yeah.
And then get my wallet, and then walk all the way back.
Yeah.
And then I had to get something out of Simon's room, and I was just, and I looked at myself in the mirror. And usually, I get titty dragons.
I get a smiley face.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, on my tummy, I kind of get a line, and then around my chest, I get a kind of.
So titty dragons.
Okay.
So you know what dragons are, sweat patches.
Yes.
So I get the dragons along there, like straight off the tits, and then, but I don't usually get the old, like, mash dragons.
Right.
The mash dragons are the ones that come straight off the neck. And they give you like the V lines.
So
like,
you were full on.
I had the mash dragons, the titty dragons, and I would never see myself sweatier.
Wow.
And I can't imagine playing
rugby.
Effing rugby in that. It's just outrageous. Outrageous. But the Fijians can do it because that's where they're from.
This is true. Home advantage.
It is home advantage. 100%. And them playing, you know, on a late May on a Friday night in Christchurch when it's freaking
eight degrees. That was the opposite effect, wasn't it?
They're like,
yeah, exactly.
They're just frozen to the bone. They're like, how do people play?
How do people play in these conditions?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, dear, eh? But no, it was a good trip.
Tony's sweaty tits. That's what you tuned in for.
Should that be the thumbnail? My sweaty tits. But yes, there was a lot of rugby. And where would you... We have to talk about it.
I'm wearing Italian gear, so I want to start with Italy's win over Scotland.
Because this is 2 cents gets distracted. A rugby podcast.
A rugby podcast.
You want to start...
That's not on there. There's no rugby podcast.
You know what irritates me? Out of the three games of Six Nations,
that was the one you were spoiled to.
That's the one that was spoiled to. As I was watching, because it was on at bloody shit knows when.
Yeah, it was on at 3:15 in the morning here.
Yeah, so I didn't wake up and watch the Ireland game live. I woke up and watched it delayed and just avoided social media.
Mm-hmm.
But that Irish commentator that I really like said, the historic occasion where Italy got up. Could we be seeing something else historic happening here? And was that a good impression of that guy?
That's kind of Belfast, isn't it?
I don't know where he's from. And then I was like, what? Italy won? I was like, oh, shit.
Commentators, don't do that. For God's sake, don't do that.
We can't, especially us on the other side of the world. Even if you're like, been at work and you're coming home, you're like, well, that game's on live, I'll catch that. Then I'll watch the other one afterwards.
Yeah, there are people who even tell me, like, your thumbnails have got spoilers in them because it's showing the winning guy. So nowadays, I make the thumbnail before the game.
Yeah.
And unless the player, like, literally doesn't do anything, goes off within 2 minutes, I don't change it. Like, that's the guy. Yeah. Win or lose or draw, that's the guy. So I'm not spoiling it on purpose. Like, you just don't do that. But in Super Rugby, the last game of the week was the Chiefs and Reds game.
Yeah.
And that game was also an upset. And when the Reds were in the lead, because there were quite a few upsets this week with Super Rugby, the commentator alluded to it, but didn't speak specifically to any results.
Nice.
That's the way to do it. Show a bit of class, man. Don't just, if you got dead air to kill, don't spoil the results for everyone else.
I didn't watch any rugby content at all while I was in Fiji, but I did catch you having a big old bitch about the commentators. I loved it, actually.
Yeah.
It's, and I was sitting there going, well, to be fair, they've got a point, you know, like, yeah, rugby is a lot better and the scrums really do suck. No, I'm kidding.
But, it was, I was just annoyed. It's been coming for a while.
We'll go back to it. I just wanted to, like, shove that in there just as a little, like, red herring. I do want to get your take on that later. Like, just wind you up.
Italy-Scotland.
31-29. And what's so impressive about this weekend was there were so many points in so many of these games you thought, well, that's done.
Well, that's the thing.
22-10.
Yeah. I spoke to the guy who runs the rugby forecast algorithm at the start of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a look at all the algorithm stuff. And it was like, this is a clean sweep away wins week.
Yeah.
We've only ever seen it a couple of times in the Six Nations, but we're going to get another one. You know, Ireland are all conquering. They're going to go into Twickenham. You know, Scotland's going to get a bonus point against Italy. And France are going to probably beat Wales. Like, it's going to be a bit dull.
Yeah, right.
And then what?
It was turned on its head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is what you like to see.
Yeah, it was great. It was really, really great. And there was just, you know, Bricks, that guy, he looks pretty damn
good. Nacho Bricks.
He looks class, doesn't he? And they stuck in it in that first half. They got a few penalties and whatnot. They never got out of touch.
Why does the ball keep falling off the freaking tee for Garbisi, man?
I didn't see that.
It happened at the start of the game when he was lining up a first. Remember at the end of the France game, it falls off the tee. It happens literally first kick.
I didn't catch it because I only watched the highlights of this game.
Okay. Well, it happened again. And this time he kicked the kick and he had a huge smile on his face like it was hilarious.
All right. Who were the main standouts?
Well, you mentioned Bricks. He had a pretty good game.
He's a monster.
Yeah, no, he was really good. Scored a try. Menoncello, the other midfielder, did really well. Lewis Leiner got his test debut and he managed to get a try.
He
had virtually no touches in the first half. It was almost like he wasn't there. And then I think his second touch is a try.
You know, I kind of credit him the try to the halfback as well, which he had he had nothing to do with it. But he was caught yelling for the ball so loudly and so Australian-like and just making a scene of himself that the players were actually drifting off. And then that left the hole for, what's the name of the halfback?
At that time, was it Varney, I think?
Yeah, to take the gap and score the try. So he played pretty nicely.
Yeah.
What are you smirking to yourself?
He sounds Australian. He doesn't sound Australian. He sounds totally British, though, when you or English, really? When you hear him.
That's what
because he's been raised there. Yeah, he was called up into the England camp last year, but he never got a game. Right. I didn't realize his mum is Italian. I knew he was born in Italy. I assumed he was eligible through birthplace, but he's actually got an Italian mum.
Right.
So he could have played for Australia, England, or Italy.
Right.
Gets in there with the Italians. But yeah, the captain, Lamaro, he's crazy good. Ross Vincent, there was heaps of them just doing really well.
How did he play?
He was good. I put him on my team of the week. He was just everywhere. Like, there was one time when they got, like, a big line break, and then he's the first Johnny on the spot, just so that the guy who gets the initial break doesn't get isolated and turned over. Like, that kind of stuff which you don't really – it's not sexy.
No.
It's not going to be in the highlights package, but he's just always there. I love that.
But it's massively official.
Yeah, you need that.
In terms of the Scottish, who did you think, like, shat the bed?
I don't think the midfield quite looked the same with Tuipulotu out injured. I mean, Redpath, good player, but – yeah, didn't quite look. It's just that he doesn't have the same partnership with Hugh Jones because Tuipulotu and Jones play together at their club.
Yeah, so
that kind of like telepathy, doesn't quite have the same.
How were they up front?
But it's another time when Scotland has just kind of fallen off the game. Like, remember they did it against Wales in the first game where they had a big lead, unassailable, and then they almost lost. Quite concerning the fact that Scotland just keep. I mean, up until this game. I think in the final 20 minutes, they'd only scored 3 points across the first three games. It's an hour of rugby only scoring 3 points, and they conceded a ton. So it's just worrying because they've not had a massive overhaul of the squad. They've got the same coach. They should be the second place team in the Six Nations.
Well, they were unlucky against France, weren't they?
Yeah, exactly.
They were lucky against Wales. They did show a little bit of quality in that Wales game in the last 7 minutes, I think, where they managed just to start playing a bit of territory, get them involved in the game that they wanted to play, stop that frenetic attack that Wales was doing at the time. But you're right, they should have more composure with the team that's had a little bit more time under in the saddle together. How was Finn? Was he... like his mercurial best at any time?
I don't think it was his best game. Yeah, but I mean, it's easier to say that when, like, when he was playing England, he looked world class, didn't he? Like,
yeah, well, you know, they've got to remember there's more games than just the Calcutta Cup.
Yeah, that's it, eh?
Like, that by far and away looked their best, and they looked great in the first half against, in the very beginning of the second half against Wales.
Mm.
What happened to our man Van der Merwe?
Didn't get himself on the board. He's still chalked up a few run meters, but there's a couple of times when he got tackled by Kapawatso, and Kapawatso is like a much smaller dude.
He's smaller than both you and I. You
would have thought like he's just getting away and flattening him, but I mean,
bowel movement's bigger than him.
Yeah, like there's one, I think, Liner. God, sorry. That's one of those ones where I almost was able to just not go there, but I still went there. Yeah, like Kapawatso gets him enough that Liner can push him into touch. Like, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Just heart from the Italians. I mean, they still only live on like 40-odd% possession. They always go into each game knowing we are going to have to tackle a lot more than the opponents, and we are going to have to be clinical when we do get those chances. And they were.
You're a bit of a gamer. You like to play.
Not that much these days, but I do.
Like when there's like you get to a boss in whatever game you're playing, and you're like you'd have this thing where you're like, I have to play the best I've ever played to have any chance and make zero mistakes to beat this thing. It's like
Dark Souls. You play Dark Souls?
Yeah, and that just makes you want to shoot yourself in the face.
Yeah.
Because you get past it and then you just like fall off a cliff and go back 3 hours. But anyway, apart from Dark Souls, actually, that's not a good example. But in most cases, you know, you die and you get another chance.
Right.
You die and you get another chance. You just keep on.
Probably even in Dark Souls, you get another chance.
But you go back so far, you know. But then they like they have to get everything completely 100% right, play to their absolute maximum potential, and hope the other team has a slightly off day.
Yeah.
That might be that's a little bit derogatory towards them. But
I think over the course of recent years, that's pretty fair.
Yeah,
Italy can cause a threat if somebody else is not quite there, and they have
Scotland and France on their if they pip them this year, they were desperately unlucky not to beat France.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So it's encouraging.
It is encouraging. Well, I think in the last pod I gave them an absolute serve. So sorry to all my Italian friends. All is forgiven. I still think they would need to. They need to produce a little bit more.
But consistency is key. Yeah.
At least one or two victories. Who have they got next week?
They've got Wales,
which
is very tasty. Winless Wales.
Who's? So I think
this is the first time in history. I didn't check this, but somebody mentioned it that Italy's gone two games in the Six Nations like back to back without losing because a draw and a win.
Yeah.
So, like every other Six Nations, if they've got a win or a draw, the next game's been a loss. So, well done, Italy.
Victories. That's interesting. So, Wales is odds on to lose the.
Well, they're at home to Italy, so I think they'll still go in as favourites. But
if they win, where do they actually finish on the table?
Wales are on 3 points, Italy are on 7 points. So, there's still potential that Wales could win.
With a bonus
and
point.
Then if Italy were to get like a losing bonus point, then potentially they could still pip the Welsh.
Poor old Wales.
I don't think Gats is very happy.
Well, you wouldn't be. You haven't got a win
yet.
Got
none from four.
None from four. Jeez Louise.
Before we get to Wales, should we go England-Ireland?
What a game. What a great game to watch.
Yes.
So impressed. So impressed with it.
England was so written off with that one.
Yeah, I
didn't think England were going to win.
I didn't think
it was going to be a blowout, but I certainly didn't think England were going to win.
I heard that, like, I was in Fiji, and that's about the furthest place away you can be from, like, the English press.
Mm-hmm.
So, but apparently, I heard murmurings of English press saying worst ever England team.
Yeah, they're really laying into them.
The only chance they're going to have to win this is if they play 13 or 14 players.
That was Jamie Heaslip, one of the Irish pundits who said that. Yeah.
Good one. Man, the Irish pundits get themselves
I think most of the fans, because I did the preview, most of the fans were like, hey, we're going to Twickenham. This ain't like, this is not a doddle. We are not like buying into this. But the pundits are just like, we're going to smash these bricks.
Who was that idiot on off the ball who managed to like make sure that Sam Kane put the best performance put in an All Black jersey?
Yeah.
So you're simply not the quality of an international footballer or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
some of the pundits. I mean, that's not unique to the Irish press. The New Zealand press can be really bad with that as well.
Yeah, no, but the Irish ones really seem to say the wrong thing at the wrong time.
Yeah. Right before these big clutch kind of games.
Shut up.
Just be quiet. Like, because Andy Farrell has never bought into that. Like, they've always been sending out the messages about how, you know, it's a massive game, it's a big challenge, not going to take it lightly. Most of the fans have been echoing that sentiment, but then there's just a few pundits who just like...
Before we get into the game, there was a little bit of a back and forth, tete-a-tete, shouty pants. Between, I hate your dad, you hate my dad. Oh, don't be mean to me, you're an arsehole. Yelling at each other across the...
Between Farrell and Borthwick.
Yes, what was the story there?
Well, apparently they're having a wee catch-up.
Talking about organising a couple of barbecues. Because
they used to be teammates, so how you been? How's the missus?
She's all right. Come round for a barbecue. You come round for a barbecue. I have to F-bomb that.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so we don't know what the...
I mean, I think there's a bit of talk that there might have been an incident that one of them thought was kind of foul play and the other one was disagreeing, but... Oh. Yeah.
Pull your head in, sort of thing.
Yeah, it's a bit of a...
Yeah, all right.
It's a bit of emotion.
Storm in a tea... Well, not even that. Like,
that's all right.
It's not bad to see that.
But yeah.
It wasn't like they took swings at each other or anything like that.
No, that's right. But no, there was a lot of drama in that game.
What a game. And what a player May is. Like, he is... Earl, sorry.
I was thinking, geez, who's May? Johnny May? He didn't play. No, he retired.
Earl, sorry. I always Ben call Earl, him May. Yeah. I always call him Ben May for some reason.
He's been in phenomenal form since the World Cup. I really want to run his stats because I talked to one of the Planet Rugby journos a couple of weeks ago, and he said, like, he's English.
Yeah.
So he was big enough. He talked a lot about England. That's, you know, that's his team. And he said something like, you know, Ben Earl's been world class. He's right up there with like Aldrete and Savia right now.
Yeah.
And in the comments, people were just like, F-bomb this, but get f***ed. Like, you are full of it. Like,
that's the right thing.
He's nowhere near that, blah, blah, blah. And I was thinking like, well, he's close if he's not there. Like, he's been incredible. And then he just did it again.
Well, that was what my comment was going to be. Like, I know we hold... You know, Savia and some of these players in very, very high stead.
Mm.
But he looked every inch world class.
Yeah.
Like, really up there.
Yeah.
Like,
and he's been doing it week after week.
And, like, it's
just, he made Bundy Aki look pretty average for that trial. He just got rid of him. Like, Bundy Aki is a great defensive 12.
And he's just a beast. Just like, it looks like a, you know how you look at a pit bull? And they've just, you've got tenuous muscles everywhere. Yeah. He's just like that. And he's this white, freaking massive meat coming at you. He's got a turn of pace.
Yeah.
He's a savage at the breakdown.
Yeah.
Like, he is, geez, I'd like to have him on a team that I was supporting.
Yeah.
Like, really, really good. Looks and doesn't, like, a great team man.
It's weird because traditionally he's not been a... He's not been traditionally a number eight, but he's made that jersey his own. And yeah, you're right. People used to give him a lot of stick for like celebrating everything.
Oh, I like it.
Team gets a free kick at scrum time and he's acting like he just won the World Cup. Yeah, people give him a lot of stick, but man, when you're winning.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
When you're getting man of the match.
And when your team needs that sometimes, you need a bloke like
to
that.
To pump them up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but no.
Sometimes that can be a guy who doesn't do a heck of a lot, but other than just cheer on. But he was so good.
Yeah,
best player of the weekend for my mind.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah,
easily.
Yeah,
but he's been doing it week after week, man.
Just like every involvement he had, like he was doing good things.
Yeah,
like very, very, very tight.
He's giving you Caelan Doris.
He was giving me a
I mean, Caelan Doris was pretty good as well, but still, Ben Earl was the star of the show.
Yeah, he absolutely was. And in a game where Ford wasn't kicking well.
No, it was really weird.
England were going to win a game where they were behind when they had this many kicks a goal, but they missed this many.
Yeah, like, that's right. You would have thought, like, if England is going to win, they're going to go into it. Like, Ford is going to do what he did to Argentina. He's just going to drop goal the shit out of it. You know, he's going to kick his penalties.
He took an awful droppy at one stage, didn't
he? Yeah. Missed a couple of penalties, like... Yeah, it wasn't his finest hour.
I really like the I want to get to Ireland in a bit, but I love the expansive kind of play that that England were playing with. And the thing that impressed me most was there were so many points in that game where they were on top, but what good teams do, they managed to just keep creeping and getting points. And Ireland managed to get the lead, and there were so many times where I thought, "Oh, that's going to break them. That's going to defeat them." They have that much dominance, but to still be behind.
When James Lowe got that second try, you were like, Ireland aren't even playing that well. Yeah, they're still going to win.
Yeah, still, and you were like, geez, how good are these guys to be able to do that? You're like kind of in awe of that's the a thing, team like, playing
the,
badly.
The greatest teams are the ones that can play pretty bang average and still walk away with a win. That's what Ireland looked like they were going to do.
But when I was watching it, I thought, they've taken their souls. There's no way that they're just going to like go, woe is me, and crawl into their shell right now. A little bit of like Wales did at the end of the France game. But they just kept on fighting.
Coming back,
kept on gritting. And a lot of it was on the back of Earl. I thought Furbank had made a couple of mistakes, but it looked really, really looked sharp, looked great. There was, I love that first try where Lowe did, for his standard, a relatively ropey
poor kick.
Went to Lowe, and he like freaking gunned it out to the left hand side, had a lineup. Was he went to inside to Robinson? Like, and Robinson, I don't know who's
Robinson.
Ollie, someone?
Ollie? Oh, Ollie Lawrence.
Oh, jeez.
There you go.
Robinson, Lawrence.
They both have, they have A's names in them.
They both have vowels. But he did one of my favorite things to see on a rugby field, and I don't know who he did it to. He did just the bump off sit down. Like Jonah Lomu was like the best ever, which is just meat on meat contact.
Yeah.
And and just sit down. Yeah. Not even a fan, just like
boom.
Your mass can't handle my mass. And that's where you belong on your ass, you little bitch. You know,
no, Lawrence was way, because he played the last game and he looked quiet. And I was like, what's he doing? Like, Ollie Lawrence is a proper wrecking ball. Where is he? But this was kind of more back to the Ollie Lawrence that we're used to seeing.
Just the intent that Furbank had to like go, no, we're going to gun it. I've got numbers on the left.
Yeah.
Created an overlap out of nothing. Like, and a bit of magic, for, you know, the bump off sit down, bitch.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
Like, I like Ireland. I'm of Irish descent, but I was just sort of like, we are neutral.
The underdog thing, eh?
You're just like,
when they've been so written off, you're just like, I know what you mean.
So I wasn't upset when they got that victory at the end. I was like, wow, that's well deserved.
Ireland weren't helped by the fact that they lost both of their backs. You know, they only had a 6-2 split, so the two backs. I mean, they lost Calvin Nash really early, so that meant that Kieran Frawley had to go into fullback, and then Hugo Keenan, who's a great fullback, goes onto the wing. Like, he's all right on the wing. He's a former sevens dude, but it's not the same. He's way better at fullback than he is on the wing.
It was almost like a mini version of what happened. Did you see the
Blues game? It was the same thing as the Blues.
Blues were just...
It was exactly... Blues also went for a 6-2 split and had both their backs go off even earlier.
It was a walking...
Yeah, it was awful.
Wounded out there.
It was terrible.
It was that whole game plan. The game was like, where's Talia? Give it to him. He just drove him into the ground.
Yeah, exactly. But that didn't help the Irish cause, I think. But yeah, like you say, just a few things. Like James Lowe didn't seem to be connecting with the boot as well as he usually does.
No.
Like Josh van der Fleer, I thought at times was keeping them in the game, turnovers and just slowing the ball down. So that's random. That's not Josh van der Fleer.
That's
Johannesburg's finest. We're going to stop making that joke.
I'm just looking for something to open a bottle.
Okay.
Sorry, man.
I would give you the pen, but I bought it from Temu. I don't think it'll handle it.
Should we give it a crack?
You give it a crack, all
right. Right, this is going to be Temu's quality. Oh, no, we can't bag it because they were a sponsor once.
They were a sponsor once. I'm probably contractually obligated to not talk.
Well, we're not going to talk about it. We're going to show you. Well, I think most pens aren't going to hold up.
No pen is designed to open a bottle.
Let's see how they go. Well, pass me that lighter over there in a sec. But let's just go through the Temu experiment first. You feel that? Is that cold enough for you?
Yep.
Okay. Just getting that check, a little temperature check from the fella over here. All right, so this is a test two. Rather aptly named for this.
It was like a dollar for like 12 pens or something.
You're a cheapo. Are you getting?
I had a Temu order for something else, and I was like a dollar short of like the required total, so I bought pens.
How does this one write?
Not that well. It's not a ballpoint pen.
Oh, yeah, writes like a real dog.
Well, you got to use it properly.
Hold on.
For you guys listening and watching at home, what do you think Tony just drew on my notes? Do you think he drew a smiley face? Do you think he drew a rugby ball? Or do you think he drew a cock and balls?
Yes.
We'll reveal the answer at the end.
Put it in the comments below.
Next week, we'll reveal the answer.
Don't say cock and balls. Just put C and B in the comments below, or else it'll get blocked.
Yeah.
Oh, you broke it. Well, hold on. Look, it's not still okay. Not quite there. We'll give it another shot. We've lost the tip of the test two. And this the Temu pen test challenge.
And the pen's busted. There you go.
There we go. That'll be easier. What lighters were designed to do?
There we go.
There we go. Nice.
What were we talking about?
Rugby.
Josh Van der Vleer. That's right. He was good.
The guy from Joburg.
Yeah. The Irish don't like that joke.
It's a joke.
Yeah. I think it's the same way I get a bit sensitive when people talk about us poaching all the Pacific talent, and I'm like, half these guys are from South Auckland.
That's not a joke.
Right.
That's just people going, oh, you've been pillaging them for years. That's their ignorance. Genuine point about why the All Blacks aren't as good as what they're made out to be.
Right.
And then you go, well, how many of the Samoan and Tongan team were born in New Zealand? Like,
most of them.
90% of them. Oh, jeez. I've almost prematurely frothed here. I feel like this doesn't usually happen.
What did you think about the Smith drop goal?
Oh, classy. It was really nice. It was because a man with a lot of flair and stuff, like, could have thought, we'll take a dagger here again.
Because they had advantage.
I've got the ball in hand. Yeah, actually, yeah. We've got a free shot here. But it was
the play.
They were stretched. Yeah. He had time and space to do it.
Right in front. Yeah. Why not?
Donk it over, win the game.
Exactly, yeah.
Really good. Really good rugby IQ. And he was on pretty late in the piece, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
But George Ford did not have his greatest game. Like, they missed so many points.
Mm.
They really, really did.
Yeah.
What do you think? I thought the discipline of the Irish wasn't great throughout the game. Their line-out was just
a bit ropey, eh?
Really, really ropey. Probably the worst performance I've seen from Ireland in the last 2 years.
Yeah, well, it's weird because, like, this point in the Six Nations, they've been kind of cruising and they've still been easily better than everybody else.
And they actually got put out to the test this time. And
yeah, and they didn't find that extra gear. It was surprising. Who are they going
next week?
Scotland. At home.
And Scotland will be smarting.
Mm.
So
Scotland have still got a chance to win the Triple Crown because the two teams they've lost to, well, they lost to France and, yeah, France and Italy. That's how that works.
Right, yeah.
Triple Crown's the other four.
But they got they'll be good.
That'll be the first time they've won it in years, but they've not beaten the Irish in Dublin for donkey's years.
How much is it stinging that the fact they're not going to get not only the Triple Crown, but the Grand Slam?
The Grand Slam for Ireland? Oh, it's got, I mean, people were talking about it like it was a shoo-in. So,
yeah, that's
and
right.
They were going to be the first team to do back-to-back Grand Slams. Never been done.
Isn't that amazing? I heard, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't know if I heard this correctly, but nobody's won back-to-back Six Nations?
No, they've won back-to-back Six Nations, just not Slams.
I thought, all right, I know back-to-back Five Nations were done, but has anyone in the Six Nations era gone back-to-back?
Pretty sure.
Okay.
Maybe I'm wrong. Tell us in the comments.
It's just under you.
Under your CMB.
Under your CMB. Yeah, it might be a smiley
face. Might be something else. Yeah, could well be. You never know.
Could have done a sneaky veg.
That wasn't one of the options.
Should we start a band and call ourselves Sneaky Veg?
No.
Next up, Sneaky Veg with supporting act Cock and Balls. Throw them together.
Wales France. That was on this morning. Monday morning here in NZ, 4 o'clock.
Yes.
You got up to watch it?
Of course I did. Monday morning, work day. Nothing more that I want to do before I drop my daughter at school is wake up. And it's a depressing watch, really, like having to wake up and just knowing that, you know, how you have your pending Monday morning doom.
Mm-hmm.
Most people do. I don't really have that because I don't really worry too much. But
you're a carefree kind of guy.
Well, I still have to do things on Monday morning. I have to, like, be at meetings and.
But you don't let it get you down.
Nah, I just keep on trucking.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I don't want to bloody watch rugby on Monday morning when I'm trying to get ready for shit.
Right.
Basically. But the game itself, very good game.
Very good game, yeah.
Very good.
We were treated,
yeah,
as I mentioned, with a lot of good rugby.
Very good first half of rugby. And Wales
were ahead for more than half of the game.
And they're playing very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the look of a lot of those. Dyer play particularly well. That try that he just got off a little bit of scrappy
thing
ball.
Thing of beauty.
heads up play.
Yeah, exactly. Just, Adam Baird just kind of tossed it there, yeah. And he was like, nobody's in front of me. Yeah. I'm fast.
Yeah, I can make this work.
Exactly.
What
do you think of the French halfback, Nolan Legarec?
That spinning back pass.
The dude's in his first ever test start.
Loved it.
And he's just like, loved it. I don't care.
And Strawn used to do a lot of those.
But Dad doesn't like Ant Strawn.
Oh, your dad can go, because Ant Strawn's one of my faves.
Really?
Me and Gazza. Boy, what's he got to get Ant Strawn?
I think the reason my dad doesn't like Ant Strawn is because at a club rugby game once, my dad went over and talked to, I want to say, Irini Ai, who was coaching one of the club teams.
Oh, yeah.
And Ant Strawn came over and told him to F off and leave him alone, basically.
Oh,
yeah.
But that doesn't sound very nice. I just thought it was a rugby player.
Okay.
That doesn't sound... And Strawn, you shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
And now I wish I didn't know that.
You know? Sorry.
Yeah. I told him to ever... All
right. It may not have been that direct, but he told him to take a hike, basically.
Yeah. I would love to have seen the wider situation.
This is coming from Gazza.
Yeah.
He may have been genuinely just talking as, you know...
Yeah. Well, who knows what our fathers do. I know my father wouldn't be doing that, though. He's dead. He would struggle to talk to Irini Ai right now. Although if it was
20 years ago?
He could have. He would have been alive then. Yeah.
Easier to talk when you're alive.
I've noticed this. Unless you're into...
Ouija boards and stuff.
Ouija boards and seances and all that sort of jazz. Have you ever done a seance in your time?
So France came back. Those last 15 minutes, it got pretty brutal.
It was a high quality game of footy. For long periods of time, that first half was like punching, counterpunch.
I think I counted. I think there was literally 5 lead changes in the first half.
Wow. I thought...
Some games you go through and you don't get one.
I didn't mind Ramos at 10.
Like, yeah, he was actually all right.
Yeah,
I was a little bit hesitant because he's like a fill-in.
But I thought he played 10, pretty well.
He played pretty well.
I thought that him and Pino were like, sod this losing crap.
Yeah, Pino was...
He really got the bit between the two, especially early on, just trying to get a bit of go for a ball and saying, like, I've had enough of this. I'm one of the world's best rugby players.
Yeah.
I'm meant to be in one of the world's best rugby teams. Let's start playing like it. And he looked pretty good.
He looked the business, eh?
The forwards stood up across the
big
board.
Big pack, eh?
Giants.
Yeah.
Giants. They looked at the pack weight differences.
It was stupidly high. It was like a whole player's were almost. Well, like, it was a backs difference. Yeah, anyway, it was a 70 difference.
Kilo difference.
Yeah.
Which... like across, you know, 570. What is it? What,
that's a fair bit of weight, anyway.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
so. That's like a 15-year-old athletic boy just pushing like crazy.
That's the thing. Like the Welsh guys said after the game, they were kind of expecting the big French pack to tire. But if anything, where they got all their points was at the end. That's when they really blitzed them. They scored a bunch of late tries. So
sure
Luku got one and Tofufuna got the charge down. Wales were playing a bit too much rugby in their own half when they went behind.
Well, there was
there's heaps of time on the clock. You don't need to be trying to win it now.
There was one moment that I just thought, oh, they're gone. They're mentally gone. Where they had, it was 24-30 or whatever at that stage, and they were on their own 40-meter line. And they had maybe about 7 players that had a mix of backs and forwards out to the right. And what's the guy's number 15, Winlet or whatever his name?
Winlet. He didn't win it.
He didn't. And they were getting marked by a very passive 3 defenders. So it was maybe like a 7-on-3.
Mm.
So all that needed to happen was like through the hands, and you're going to have a massive
draw and pass kind of thing.
Draw and pass, basic rugby. And when it was just like, and they weren't advancing on them because they knew that they were woefully outnumbered. But he just throws this wild miracle wide pass, which was easily able to be observed by the French defenders. Caught by, I can't remember who the player was, who got, it was basically a hospital pass, who got drilled into the touchline. Like, if you watch that area back, if they just went through the hands then, they could have made something happen. But just no rugby IQ in the moment, no composure.
Bit of panic, maybe.
Just panic and just trying to do the miracle play, and it was... the worst thing they could have possibly done at that moment.
It is a very young Welsh side. I think they are only older than the Italians, who are crazy young as well. So,
what is crazy young? We've got a bunch of 3-year-olds out there.
Basically. Straight out of daycare.
They're still wearing nappies, some of these kids. Well, it was unfortunate because I thought I liked what a lot of those players were doing. I liked the look of Costello. I thought he looked pretty good.
Yeah, I think that was one of his better games in a Welsh shirt, for sure.
He was looking good. I thought the Tommy Revel or Revel or Tommy Turner.
He continues to be phenomenal, doesn't he?
He looks good.
He took a knock to his knee, which was unfortunate.
So how are they going to go with Wainwright, Tommy Turnover, and Mark Morgan when he comes back? And there's another
Jack
one.
Morgan. Oh, shit. I'm not freaking playing. Excuse my language.
Stop swearing. You might miss that one. Yeah.
I'm too old for that. And maybe not quite good enough. Just quietly.
Maybe. Who knows? You never got your chance of Wales.
No. I don't think I'm Welsh qualified, sadly, despite the surname.
No. How many generations it's a few. Have you had to go back?
Yeah, it's a few.
All right, fair enough. Oh, where's your mum from?
I think her lineage is all England.
Oh. Yeah. No wonder you're a prick.
Yeah, exactly. I did one of those DNA tests years ago, oh, yeah? And it was basically the UK and Ireland. All
right. So
I got a bit of everywhere. All us Kiwis are kind of a mixed bag.
Oh, no. I had 75%, 75% Irish.
Okay. I was nowhere near. The kind
of Munster area as well.
Right.
Of Cork, whatnot. And then I had 17% Scottish.
Mm.
And what's left after that?
Were you like Iberian?
No. And then there I had 4%, Northern European.
Oh yeah, the old Nordic countries.
Yeah, and that was about it. I mean,
mm.
It was said English and Northern European.
Okay.
So
I always get these emails telling me I have a DNA match to explore.
Oh wow!
From
ancestry.com. Finding some cousins.
Yeah,
checking it right now.
Sometimes it's literally my cousins. It'll be like, yeah, oh, I've done that. Philip Kane, and I'm like, oh, that's my mum's brother.
That's my uncle.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I should have used the word uncle.
Yeah.
That's how that works.
That is how that works, mate. But yeah.
But yeah.
Okay, but what were your thoughts on France, Wales? Any hope for Wales going forward? I bet you're going to put a positive spin on it. Okay, I want you to go hard neg. Neg it hard on this one. Neg on them hard.
I can't, man.
Neg on them.
No, they're just really just
role
young.
We're role play.
No, I refuse.
They're an international rugby team coached by...
Warren Gatland has basically sold the present to pay for the future. He's saying, I don't care if we lose now. I mean, he cares, but one of the journalists actually asked them in the post-match. Like, Warren's already pretty pissed off.
Yeah.
And they asked him, so for next week's game against Italy, are you going to pick a team to try to win? Or, like, what is he supposed to say? No, I'm going to pick a team which I think is going to lose.
I hope we have a courageous loss.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't rate... I've gone on about this before. There's no point going on about it again. But they had the Gatland period.
Mm.
It's over. It's done. They needed freshness.
So do these results to you indicate that maybe the problem wasn't Wayne Pivac, or does it just say that Gats is picking a young side and they're going to take a while to get better?
Colomé and Colombie.
Mm.
Like, I think they're... Isn't I think there's talent there.
Mm.
They probably do need a wee bit of time to mature, but the fact that they had this wild culling of the senior talent all at once, that was, you know.
So like, you think maybe Wales, like when that team made the semi-finals in 2019, had been overperforming as kind of the end of a generation, and then the current generation is just not quite up to that level, because they had a bunch of guys who were just at that level. Like, I remember there was a Wales under 20 side or something, which had like Wyn Jones and, you know, Tipperick and like a bunch of these guys who all came through at pretty, like George North and stuff, all came through at the same time. But that kind of golden Halfpenny generation feel. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They all came through at around about the same time. So maybe you just don't get that all the time.
Maybe you don't. And that sucks.
Mm.
It
happens every time. I remember for a while it was like, the All Blacks would be great, but we just don't have a good, what is it, like halfback. And then we had like freaking Aaron Smith and TJ and all these guys at the same time. And
We talked about like how bad the All Blacks were over the current period. They had a better winning record than like...
A lot of teams.
Most teams other than France and Ireland.
Yeah, basically.
I think we had a better winning record than South Africa.
I think we did, yeah.
Yeah, so... They just don't win enough. Like, it's hard to, like, just support a team that just constantly loses.
Mm.
You know? Like, And there's 2 years of constant losses. Mm. They got a little murmuring of excitement when they managed to sneak through to the quarters. And then lost to a relatively underwhelming Argentina
side. Yeah, exactly.
France, do you think they're over their hangover from the World Cup?
It's an interesting one because France's side at the weekend, they had a lot of enforced changes. Like they had Donty suspended and they had a couple of other guys injured. So maybe that was kind of good. Yeah. Maybe if Gaultier had kind of kept things the way they were, that malaise from the kind of World Cup would have continued. Maybe having a bit of fresh blood helped them out.
Yeah, that's right.
Because they had a couple of debutants in the starting side and a guy come off the bench for his debut. So
I can't remember his name, but very famous. What's it, number 13?
Fiku. Yeah, incredible.
He played great.
Yeah, he always plays great.
Well, even for him, I thought he was particularly standout in that game.
So next week is the Super Sunday, which I think means 3 Monday morning games for us in New Zealand. I'm pretty sure. So I think it's Wales, Italy, which is the battle for the spoon.
What are we going to talk about? How am I supposed to watch those games?
Don't go to work. Call in sick.
This is on the internet. It's boss. He doesn't watch.
Exactly. Call in sick.
Oh, my God.
Wales, Italy, battle for the spoon.
Yuck. Could be Super Friday night. Like Super.
I don't think it's Super Saturday.
There were no Friday night games.
Yeah, no, they've only had one Friday night game.
Give me some Friday night games.
Is it Super Saturday or Super Sunday?
Super Saturday, come on. You sacks of crap. No one wants to. Oh,
maybe it is Super Saturday.
Yes.
Sunday morning for us. Yeah, 3:15. Okay. That works for New Zealand.
Because otherwise you're going to be...
you're right. Okay, Super Saturday.
It's very weird when I haven't watched the game and I've got to talk about it. It's very... like,
it's tricky.
Like, I watched the other...
I watched a job interview, got asked... I didn't even want to go to this job interview.
Yes.
My old boss tried to get me... He tried to poach me from our former employer. He was like, come have an interview. I didn't want to go there.
You're a wanted commodity.
He tried to hit on me. I didn't want to go, but I thought... I've got a good relationship with this guy.
Right.
I will show him some face and show up for the interview and see what kind of contract they offer me. You never know, but it was in a place I didn't want to travel to and it was inconvenient, blah, blah, blah. So I go to the interview.
You're very much about travel times.
Yeah, no.
Because I've looked for
houses. There was roadworks again today. How are they still doing roadworks? The roadworks were finished. Why is there more roadworks? What are they doing?
It's at night time too. They do the roadworks at night.
Goodness sake. But yeah, they asked me a question.
I don't know why you're exploding.
They asked me a question about, I always forget, like qualitative and quantitative data. I can never remember the difference.
So quantitative is quantity, how much of the data you get. Like, and qualitative is like the quality of the data. So, like, if you have data that is, like, been well-researched and has multiple varying factors that are accounted into it and is given to you by more reliable samples versus quantitative data, which is given to you by a lot of various sources.
So, it's heaps of numbers.
Heaps of numbers.
Right.
Like, what is more valuable, more quantity or more quality? Quantity, so it's in the name. Quantitative.
Is that really what it is?
As far as my understanding.
Okay.
It's in the name, quantitative, qualitative.
Okay.
Quality, quantity. We'll look it up afterwards. Let us know in the comments below remember, if I just like, pulled that out
they,
of my arm.
They asked me that question and I just took a long sip of my drink. And then I kind of gave a panicked look to my old boss and then he rephrased the question and I answered him.
Okay.
What
can we do? Role play.
We still got some
role play. This is a great role play. Okay. So Mark, in this business, you know, we're in a growth period and during a growth period, there are a lot of different factors we're going to take into account. And one of the things that you're going to have to be across is a lot of data that we're taking in. And in your experience, you know, what do you lean towards? Quantitative data or qualitative data? What I mean is it like a lot of stuff or just shit, not so shit stuff?
Oh, yeah, a lot of stuff, yeah. Yeah.
All right.
It was great.
Yeah. Great role player. Up here.
I didn't get that job, just didn't? FYI. Oh, he felt really bad about it. He felt really bad about having to turn me down. I was like, I didn't say I didn't really want it, but I was like, that's okay, I understand.
You know,
I genuinely didn't want that job. And you know what makes it worse?
Go for it, tell me.
I had just bought a new cell phone. And when I was on my way to the car park to get my car, I reached into my pocket just to check the time, pulled out my phone, dropped it on the ground, the screen smashed, I had to get it replaced. It almost cost me like half the value of the phone. Shouldn't have gone to that interview. I should have just said, no thanks, I'm not interested.
Wow.
It was a real crap time. Bad job interview. It was an awful. It was the worst. I didn't prepare for it because I didn't want the job.
Right.
It was genuinely quite awful and I broke my phone.
Right.
Just for me trying to be nice to my old boss. What a dick.
Do you think this relates to like issues you have with your mother?
Yeah, probably.
Everything comes down to
mom. I love you, mum.
Your mum seems like a lovely woman.
She is. Wales, Italy. You picking the Italians for the spicy meatball or you think Wales are going to get up and do it?
I picked Italy last year in a similar situation. And Wales, not even that similar. They were both... Italy was getting plucky losses and Wales was getting pants losses.
Mm.
But this year, Italy should have beaten France and beat Scotland and Wales have not been close.
So you're going Wales then?
Yeah, I want to say Wales.
Okay.
But I think Italy... My head says Italy, but then my head also says, nah, Wales will find a way.
So. Yeah, I think so as well. But it would be nice to see Italy not get a spoon for a change.
Well, they might not get a spoon.
That's true.
They're in a good position here not to get a spoon.
Ireland against Scotland. So Scotland fighting for a triple crown, which as I said would be the first time in 20-odd years. So it's the one I always forget about, but it's genuinely a bit of silverware.
Acting, singing, dancing.
And the Irish are on 16 points. England are on 12. So... they could still potentially not win the Six Nations, but...
I think it could be a cracker of a game. It's a game that I would not be blown away if Scotland managed to find a way. But I think there's a element of that big brother kind of notion. And you saw that at that semi... It was like a...
It was a knockout game, basically, wasn't it?
I want to say an eighth final.
Mm.
Not a quarter final, it was an eighth. Where they both...
Yeah, Ireland have had the wood over the Scots for years. I don't know what it is. The Scots have beaten everybody else in that time in the Six Nations, but they haven't beaten the Irish.
I think at home and
with
coming off a loss. But I think Scotland will also have a point to prove, not only because they're up against Ireland and really desperate to get a victory and you know the triple threat and all that sort of jazz, but just coming off a loss to Italy, they want to show that they've got more metal to them than that.
And then France host England.
Really spicy, that one.
The Le Crunch.
Le Crunch. What a turnaround. What a turnaround from Twickenham 40-point victory.
People were talking about this could be another France over England at Twickenham. It could be the same thing. Yeah. Also, someone mentioned a good point. I think it was on Reddit that this Six Nations is going to make next year's... What's that Netflix series called? What was it called? Not Drive to Survive. Make it pretty tasty, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
We might find out more about the Andy Farrell, Steve Borthwick thing.
Yeah.
But there's a bit of drama there.
Two barbecues.
Yeah.
A little bit of saucy drama. I wish we knew. I wish we got like that. Because like in UFC, there's a little confrontation. They'll talk to the fighters or the coach or something. And they'll be like, what happened? And you'll be like... he called me an F and F and F or something like that. And you're like, oh, that's not nice.
Person who fights for a living. Not nice. Wow.
Yeah. What am I saying here?
England, tasty.
I don't know who's going to win that game.
Yeah.
It's a pick 'em for me. 50-50.
Yeah, both sides had pretty good shifts in this most recent round. So
I think it's incredible. England have done... like, they get a lot of shit.
They get so much shit, but they made a semi-final.
And they lost by one
point. They almost made a final.
Like, they were one oxen shay from making the final.
For everyone who's like, oh, well, they had an easy run, they still almost beat the Springboks.
Yeah, they got as close as the All Blacks did.
Exactly.
And as close as France did.
Exactly. So, and if, up until this point, I mean, the only game England's lost was against Scotland.
Hmm.
They're second place. I mean, I know they weren't going into this round, but still.
Can they still win the comp?
Yeah, I mean, they're on 12. Ireland's on 16. So I think they would need Ireland to not get any points. And maybe they need to get... yeah, it's still unlikely.
Well, but what a turnaround. Getting the greatest rugby championship under their belt.
Exactly right.
This mob of team.
There you go.
Well,
Six Nations.
Six Nations. Great weekend of Six Nations.
Great.
Mark quick question for you. Was there any other rugby this weekend?
Super rugby.
Oh, super rugby. Super honestly, terrific.
If don't switch off now. It's been bloody good.
It has been. And we're going to start masturbating furiously.
There's a lot of people who are just like, oh, I don't watch the rugby. Since the South African team's left, it's crap. Or yeah,
it's like saying, I don't do anal unless you've tried it. Give it a crack.
It's different, but this is the best season so far. Super rugby, yes, yeah. I'm talking about super rugby, not freaking anal. Goodness gracious me. My dad watches this.
Sorry, Gazza. Does he really?
Yeah, he tells me he does.
How much does he watch?
I don't know. Maybe I should quiz him.
Yeah, it'd be like,
what do you think about that point where me and Tony were going on about penguins down in Antarctica?
Like, was that after the anal bit?
Oh, okay, you watched it. At least up until like
sorry,
an hour.
Gazza, sorry,
but
Gazza.
But honestly, Super Rugby, this weekend just gone. Yes. All of these games are close.
Yes.
The biggest defeat is 10 points. And that's the Crusaders, who are winless after three games.
And one of the biggest problems.
And the rugby's entertaining rugby.
Cracking rugby.
And the Aussies aren't rubbish.
The Aussies are not shit.
Like, the Waratahs could have beaten the Highlanders. They should have beaten the Highlanders. They
should have beaten them. That Fanta Pants Ginger and the, tampon head should have got one
And
done.
The Reds beat sorry, the high-flying. Like, the Reds against the Chiefs was very much like England-Ireland.
Yeah.
The Chiefs were miles ahead of everyone else from two games, and then they got beaten.
They did get beaten. And, like, last-minute stuff?
Yeah.
Exciting. And, like, it's warmed my heart to see a not a full Suncorp, but a relatively well-attended Suncorp of like young kids just going ape shit about a rugby team.
Yeah.
You know, like getting into it. The fans like, yes, we got up and we won that one. That's great. And our team lost, which sucked balls, but
yeah,
not a great weekend for me.
No.
Well, the Warriors lost. The Warriors lost. The Blues lost, and we bloody lost the test match today in a position we should not have lost it. Cricket.
Did you watch Waratahs Highlanders? I'll get to your other sports at the end.
Okay. Yes, I did.
Waratahs should have won.
They should have won.
I looked at all the stats, and the Waratahs had all of them.
What's his name? Nedmeg or something?
Tane Edmed.
Edmed. He...
his goal kicking leaves a bit to be desired.
Yeah, he's a solid player around the park.
Mm.
And he obviously plays with his heart on his sleeve and all that sort of jazz. But yeah, you wanted him to get that kick.
Mm. If you didn't watch it, the Waratahs literally had a last minute, very kickable penalty to, I mean, not easy, but
35 metres out, about 15 metres in.
Yeah.
From the touch.
Yeah, Andre Pollard gets that kick to win the game at the death. Kind of kick.
Absolutely.
And he missed it.
He just pushed it.
Yeah.
It was a nervy strike.
So they lose 23-21 in a game I think they should have won.
Yeah.
The Drua beat the Crusaders 20-10.
Now
the Crusaders were I think 10-0 up after 18 minutes and then didn't score any more points. The conditions looked tough in Fiji. They looked tough.
I was there in Fiji earlier in the week. Mm. As I said, I played a round of golf. And if you're not in that heat, it's hard. I know people got hot places.
It's hard to understand.
But, like, you saw them when they had tries, they were just tipping bottles of water over their head. Like, just walking outside my hotel room, I would, like, my sunglasses would,
fog up. Yeah.
It's just, like, next level heat. Like,
yeah.
Like, you had to spend the whole day in the pool, just in the pool, in the water. Like, playing golf was just, like, playing it in the Sahara.
Yeah.
And, like, I cannot imagine trying to run around and play professional footy, and I can't imagine playing professional footy at the best of time.
Mm.
But when every second park you pass, or most parks you pass, is Fijian blokes throwing a ball around, so they're used to it. And
the Crusaders not so much. Well, they've already scored a try. The Fijian guy scored a try.
Yeah.
Funny that.
And like, it's just lovely to see the crowd getting into. I looked because I was there the weekend earlier. It was super magic round or whatever it was, and I
super round.
Yeah, super round. I was like, I wonder if there's going to be a game in Fiji. I wonder if I could go. I would love to have gone to a game and to see that game.
You missed the super round because you were in Fiji. It was all right. I think each day all had around.
I don't know. I don't even know if the Blues won or not.
The Blues won.
Who did we play?
We played a rugby team.
Who did we win against?
We played the
Australians.
Waratahs. I think there's so much rugby going on since then. My brain doesn't retain it.
Yeah, I try. Yeah, I didn't catch much of anything. All I watched was you having a big old bitch about the commentators. which just really made me laugh.
Like, do you want to talk about that now?
Well, no, any other, the Blues played the Canes.
Blues. Yeah, the Blues lost to the Canes down in Wellington. I think the Canes were looking really good, but the Blues also picked a 6-2 split and had both their back replacements on within 15 minutes.
Naholo for the
looks Canes. Like a beast. Josh Morby looks great. Ruben Love set up a couple of tries. Yeah, he looks like, classy. Yeah, it's just all around good from the Canes without Jordy Barrett as well.
Yeah.
So that was 29-21.
And I was my only concern about that game was watching Talia being relative. Like, he was working his ass off.
He was tired.
He was so tired. It looked like he had an injury. He was holding an injury. Yeah. So he just couldn't go off.
Exactly.
And they were just giving him the ball constantly, and he just wasn't able to do shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The Brumbies beat the Force. The Force once again blow a big lead. They don't seem to have the legs.
I didn't catch any of that. I haven't seen
it. Then the Force, 2 weeks in a row, they had it against the Rebels in Super Round. They had a massive lead.
And they shut the bed.
Yeah, exactly. And then they had it against the Brumbies in Canberra as well.
Good starters.
Yeah, not good finishes. Harry Potter.
It's like my sex life. Got get himself, him with all the moves and then.
It's all over.
It's done too. Done.
Hi, Dad. but yeah, Harry Potter got a yellow card again.
Was he going for the snitch or?
He keeps going for the kickoffs on the restart and clatters into people while they're still in the air, which is not smart.
Typical seeker.
Exactly. So the Brumbies have been a bit lacklustre. They got hammered by the Chiefs. Like in Super Round, when you looked at the fixtures, you were kind of like, oh, that's going to be a blowout. That's going to be a blowout. But Chiefs Brumbies should be good, but the Chiefs flogged them.
Oh, really?
That was the real depth. So the Brumbies, they came back and they won 22-19.
So the Reds would have been like, we got to be really up for it this week. They blew the shit out of the
Brumbies. Exactly.
Because the Brumbies are traditionally the best.
Yeah, but the Brumbies have looked pretty flat. They still got the win, but it was unconvincing.
How good is this that we're actually talking about multiple competitive games? Because the last few years, it's just been us shitting on everyone and us only getting excited about the local derbies.
Yeah. You know, no, it's been fantastic.
It's been a damn squid of a comp. Like the good games.
You need some parity. You need to go into a game genuinely going.
But you're not getting the Bledisloe back.
Yeah.
Okay.
You need to know that the games genuinely have a chance for either side to win.
Yeah, watch it.
Yeah, honestly, it's been really good.
Watch it.
Please.
So you can be interested in what we talk about.
Yeah, the rugby's been great.
Do it for us.
Pick
a
team.
If not, yourself.
Yeah, pick a team.
When was the last time you did something for yourself?
That's all you need to do. Once you've got one team, you can at least get that little bit invested.
Yeah, it's not quite the same, man. Oh, sorry.
But still.
We're meant to be wildly positive here, aren't we?
Pick a team.
Thank you for the check, NZR Plus. Appreciate it.
Even without them, I think I would still be bigging up the comp.
Yeah. It's been very entertaining.
Moana Pacifica lost to the Rebels 29-23. That game looked really poorly attended because it was a late switch to Hamilton.
I just want to mention one incident that I saw in the Reds.
We haven't got to the Reds game yet.
No, Reds and Chiefs. Yes,
we haven't got to. Okay.
Can we talk about it?
Okay, 25-19. Oh, the Reds
we'll get
beat
to there in a bit. I thought we were talking about. Oh, awesome. Sorry.
Just go with it. Keep rolling. Go.
That hit that Lenua or whatever his name is. What is his name? I forgot his name.
Finau on Lina.
Finau.
It was dirty. It was bad.
Oh my God.
It was so bad.
Oh my God. It was so lovely. It was so amazing. It was awful and totally against the rules. But
he got away with it. He got penalized. That was it.
Straight from the schoolyard. Like,
late hit. Big forward on the back.
Totally mothered him.
And he went off.
Yeah, just abs. If you watch the highlights of that game, just to watch that one hit, it was one of the most powerful, brutal. Like, and it was like he didn't hit him high. He did wrap an arm, sort of, but it
hit
was
him late.
Just he hit him late. I think he to be fair on Finau, he had his head turned, and was definitely committed.
Yeah.
But he was. The ball had been passed a good half a second before, but he was...
I'm not pulling out.
He was launching himself through the air to an unsuspecting liner who was just absolutely just... He body bent in ways.
He clattered him, He had to go off after
and
that.
And then, like, drilled into the
ground.
It was
savage.
Just glorious. Yeah. Like, not great. And the Aussie commentator's like, but it was just, as an observer...
It was great.
Of somebody who likes... Big body hits. Contact. It was. It gave you an Earl. It gave you a Doris. It got your Savia pumping.
There you go.
It really did.
It was good. Fraser McBride was cracking. Like, he's what in demonic player. Form. He's in what demonic
a, that
form.
That try that he scored was a cracking try.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Reds are on. The Reds are playing some good rugby. The Les Kiss is their new coach. He's always played attacking rugby when he was over in the Premiership. And, like, yeah, they just seem to be rejuvenated under him thus far this season. So really pleasing.
They haven't got Big Brad Thorn anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe a bit of positivity because Brad's quite serious.
Yeah.
What you need to do? Pull your finger out your ass.
Yeah.
And work hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Moana Pacifica Rebels. Moana Pacifica have not been, like, last season, Moana Pacifica were just easy beats. They would basically be coughing up a bonus point.
I thought this would be a good challenge for them, but
they were down by quite a lot. And then they came back to lead by a point, and they still ended up losing it. By a bit. So 29-23. Yeah. But there was not much crowd there, but it was a late shift. It was supposed to be up in Northland, but the ground has had issues, so they moved it to Hamilton. Not many people went.
They're a nomadic team.
They are a nomadic team. They don't have a home ground this year. So Moana Pacific is still a bit of a problem in
they
that.
They don't have...
Where's the fans? No, are they in Auckland? Because Auckland's already got the Blues. We've already got the Warriors.
Yeah.
We don't need another team. The idea that... Like, the Tongan and Samoan community are just going to be like, oh, we'll support these guys because they're called Pacifica, I don't think has panned out the way they assumed it would.
They've been lifelong fans of the Blues.
Yeah, exactly. These people have been brought up watching the Blues or watching the Warriors. So why would they just suddenly switch to a team which is losing every week?
Yeah.
Doesn't have any kind of big star players.
Yeah, like, it'd be their second team.
Maybe,
yeah. You're going to shell out
the LA, but if you're only buying tickets to one game each weekend, you're going to go to the Warriors or you're going to go to the Blues. You're not probably going to Moana Pacifica. That's why their attendance has been rubbish all season last year.
Was there any call for this team? Well, no, there's always been call for, like, give respect to... If they actually had their...
If they're in Tonga or Samoa, I think they build a fan base. You get people attached because that's their team.
But when you're in Fiji, there's Drua jerseys everywhere.
Right.
You know, and people are wearing Drua merchandise. There's Drua players on the billboards. They're all over the shop, not quite as much as the Sevens players.
Right.
But there's Drua shit everywhere.
Right.
You know? Like, they're rock stars.
That's where the fan base is. It's not South Auckland.
No.
Sorry. But that's just... We already have
you
a
heard
team
it here from Mark from Morgan. Me. Not Jack Morgan. Don't get him confused.
That guy plays for Wales.
He does. You don't... You've stopped playing for Wales?
Didn't quite make the cut.
Oh, you're close, though.
Exactly. You've
never been to Wales.
No, I haven't. That's all the games. Super rugby. But it was a cracking round.
Great rugby all round all weekend.
Close games.
Hats off to all the players.
Upsets. We love it.
The Wellington women did a controversial haka.
That has been in the news. That's been the biggest news about Super Rugby Aupiki, I think, is the fact that these girls are doing a politically themed haka.
They do a haka and they, in one of the lines,
they call the government rednecks, apparently.
And then they say, honor the treaty!
I've never been that much, like, I'm not really into politics, so I don't really care. Yeah. But I certainly know that if I was looking to get political inspiration, I'm probably not taking this, it.
They did the haka in the first place, and it got picked up. There was a relatively offensive translation towards the government, the current government, who have had some relatively controversial new...
changing policies from the old government.
Policies that some have been deemed to be anti-Māori.
Yeah.
There's been one specific... relatively controversial bill that's been launched by Seymour Butts. What's his first name?
David
Seymour, to have a referendum around the true meaning of the treaty, which has sent an absolute shitstorm around people because the treaty is and the founding document of New Zealand.
There's a heap of...
The Treaty of Waitangi.
The Māori influence on the New Zealand women's rugby teams is massive.
Yeah.
Like... I don't know what the percentage of the demographics are, what percentage of the population is Māori, but certainly those women's rugby teams are hugely overrepresented by Māori players. So
you say overrepresented?
Isn't that like they there's more players?
There's a high proportion of them.
Yeah.
Overrepresented sounds like there's a... So it's
you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But they did this haka.
Yeah.
And it said this relatively offensive line because it's, you know, they're a democratically elected government.
Yes.
You know, so a lot of people voted for this government and they're doing things and all that sort of thing, whatever your take on their policies are. And the CEO came out and said, oh, we're disappointed by that.
We're not going to do it again.
We won't do it again.
They did it again.
They came out and they did it again.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny.
I mean, it's good to get that competition in the news.
Yeah, but it would be nice to talk about the rugby.
Rugby, that's they won.
They won the game.
So that's good. But
Tahir Prop did it.
But I mean, do you take your politics from sports players? When like Israel Folau was going on about his religious beliefs, were you like, that's the guy I want to listen to? Like, no, I was unsure about whether I was going to be a Buddhist or a Christian, but Israel Folau, I'm going with that guy. Like, they just chuck the ball around.
They've got a platform.
Yeah, you got a platform. That's fine. Yeah, but I remember when Israel Dagg years ago, like, he tweeted out, like, John Key's the man. I freaking love John Key. I'm like, shut up, Israel Dagg. Like, just throw the rugby ball. That's your job. Like,
he.
What do you know about the economy?
He and Jonah got in trouble. Jonah got in trouble too because they did a. On election day, they did a pro-national
tweet. Oh, you're not allowed. There's not allowed advertising election day. You're not allowed
to advertise. But there was their own personal Twitter.
Yeah, I know.
Because, like, you're not allowed to have, like, you know, most places will have election banners.
Yeah. And there's no billboards allowed on election day. No billboards
allowed on election day.
Yep.
So I always forget
who I just don't like the politics stuff, personally.
Yeah. Well, is there any other talking points? We got more into that than I thought we would.
Yeah. Me as well. You know one thing, if you ever travel to China.
In China?
And if you read Chinese.
If I read Chinese?
There are a lot of political slogans and banners up everywhere.
Honor the people.
It's like, you know how when it's election time here, there's banners and shit everywhere. Like, their slogans are always god-awful here as well. You know, there's things like...
But they're not...
Do you want a better country? Vote for us.
Yeah, like, but they're not...
Better economy? Vote for us.
But it's part of...
Doing it for you. We're not doing it for ourselves.
But it's part of a wider working democratic system.
Yeah, whereas in China, it's like, the party is good and the people are happy. And I'm like, who are you to tell me that? I mean, I'm not part of your people, but don't you just tell me that? There's a lot of political slogans. Or like, there's the core values of socialism. And it's like... Patriotism, loyalty. Like,
you got to be loyal.
I think loyalty was one of them. But yeah, I can't stand that wherever I go.
All right.
Whether it's here, whether it's there. But if you haven't seen that crap, I complain about it in Two Cents on Tour, which is my other channel. And I also sweat buckets in my upcoming video.
In your can I tell the people some exciting news about your life?
Yes.
So at the end of this month, there'll be... Sorry, by the way, we didn't let you know that there was going to be a break in the podcast last week.
We forgot.
But we'll give you a forewarning. The end of March, there'll be a break for... We might
be able to do an online episode or two.
We might do a sneaky one, but it may not be as consistent as it usually is. Because Mark is going to be...
China.
Back in China. For the sole purpose of getting some more footage for 2 Cents on Tour.
And because my wife needs to go see her parents.
Yeah, that.
That too.
Are you going to... You kind of explored the crap out of Wuhan.
I'm going to have to travel, yeah.
Yeah.
I might go to Changsha.
Changsha!
That's the province where Mao is from.
Oh!
Chairman Mao.
Wow.
Well, that's the city, but that's the provincial capital.
Can I ask you to do something?
Of Hunan province.
Can I ask you to do something that's controversial?
Ooh.
Whilst you're in Wuhan,
go to see the bio lab or whatever it is.
Yeah, can you go see the lab?
Someone else has already done it.
Who gives a rat's ass? Like, just go, people. Nah. Comment below if you want Mark to go.
It's just a building.
Yeah, but then just talk some shit. Go try and get inside and, like, do some dramatic music.
I don't want
to
get arrested.
Get someone to nut punch you or something.
I'd rather go eat some food and talk to some locals.
Try and go to the lab. I want you to go to the lab. And then I also want you to...
With a camera in my hand.
Yeah. And then if you can't...
This sounds like a great idea.
You can't get much luck there. Go to the other theory.
The market.
The wet market.
The guy sabbatical went to both.
What's that?
Sabbatical, who's a guy who does travel YouTube videos. Yeah, but like, he went to both.
I don't know who that is. I know who you are. Sure you can do... You can get your shit together. You're in Wuhan. Comment below if you want him to pick his nuts up and do something, that would get some views. He'd be like, the lab, I went there. The wet markets, I saw a bat fuck a pig. Like,
that's another F you have to bleep out.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. We meant to talk briefly about other sports.
Oh, yes. I watched...
What did you watch?
About 10 minutes.
Wow.
Of some Premier League football.
Ooh, la la.
This morning after the Wales and France game.
Yeah.
Manchester City and Liverpool were playing. They are both towards the top end of the table. I used to support Liverpool back in the day. I'd be hard pressed to say I'm a Liverpool fan now.
I'd be hard pressed to say I'm a City fan, but I would call myself. And I was with them before they got money. I worked in the UK with a guy who was a massive City fan. I used to
follow Liverpool back when Rafa Benitez first started coaching them. It was a 1-1 draw, and I found myself, as I watched that 10 minutes, I kind of remembered why I don't watch much football.
It's a touch boring.
Too much play acting. It just. Flipping gets on my tits when these guys roll around and flip themselves down. I just can't stand it. There was the other day, right? I was watching some NHL because I like a bit of the old NHL. The Islanders are on a 6-game winning run after sacking their coach, got a new coach. One of the players, they had a little collision, and as the guy was going down, he looks at the ref. Is it a ref in ice hockey? I think so. And he just goes like, he gets sent to the penalty box. You're not allowed to do that shit. If you appeal for like a foul, you get sent to the box.
Well, I think...
I think rugby should do that.
Well, yeah, I don't mind it. But I don't know why you need to get so wound up about the play acting in football. Let me finish. But like, one of the things that I notice in life, and one of the ways I try and stay calm most of the time, is when people act exactly as I expect them to act. If I know somebody who's a bit of a loudmouth prick, like I'm looking in a mirror or something, and they act that way.
Yeah.
You know how somebody would be like, so-and-so do this, I'm so pissed off, they always do that. Like, why are you, shouldn't you expect it?
Yeah,
if they always do it.
I mean,
just expect it and then you don't, I wasn't, you don't have to be like pissed off
yelling at
it.
The TV watching the game. I was just like, this is why I don't watch soccer anymore. Role
play? I'll be the TV.
It was the Liverpool players doing it as well. They're appealing for a penalty.
You'd be the guy watching TV and just turn it off and like just get a little bit like miffed and turn
I wasn't
off.
Even like that. I was just like
turn off on the TV.
I was watching on my computer.
Like on the computer.
Okay.
Can you like get miffed or like?
But I wasn't that miffed.
Just give me something.
Football.
I think I did my part.
There you go.
Perfectly.
Honestly, I wasn't mad. I was just like, oh yeah. That's football again.
There you go.
Like just for the amount of football I watched was literally 10 or 15 minutes. The amount of play acting I saw was quite high.
Yeah, right.
And I'm not a fan.
Well, can I tell you what I watched over the weekend?
You were upset by the cricket.
I'm devastated by the cricket. We have a test series right now against the Australian cricket team right now. We lost the first test relatively handily. Second test, we had a shocking first innings, but we really played hard to get back into it. And we had a position where they needed to get 275 for victory. Anything over 250 in a fourth innings is a tricky chase, tough chase, hard chase, unlikely most of the time. We had them 4 for 34.
Which is a good place to be.
Then we had them 5 for 80.
Which is not bad. Pretty good.
And then they had a 138-run partnership. Then we got 2 wickets and 2 balls from Ben Sears. Got Stark for a golden duck.
Is Stark batting that high up the order?
Well, no. It's like number 7 at that stage.
I would have thought Stark would have been there at number 11.
Well, no. He's not bad.
That shows you how much I follow cricket.
And then Cummins came in, the captain, and he put on 32 with Carey, and they won the game from... an almost unwinnable position, and it just broke me.
Your heart.
Broke me. Absolutely broke me. And the Warriors lost the opening game after all.
It was a sellout crowd. Do you think the Warriors can retain the hype if they don't have a winning season?
Well, this is my fear with the Warriors, because there is
a lot of fair weather fans.
Yeah, well, I'm not a fair weather fan, but they take me on a roller coaster. The Warriors. Or never have a good season when people expect them to have a good season.
Right. Last season, they always were kind of written off and they did well. They're a bit of a Scotland.
I often get written off and play like shit as well.
Okay.
But oftentimes, whenever they've had a good season, they get written off and then they pull through or something.
Right.
They have been hyped up as like potential title threat, title threats for this year, especially within New Zealand. Like the Up the Wires movement is still going and... they've never done well when they've had all that pressure on them. So I am very
hesitant,
scared. I really, really wanted to get that victory on Saturday night, but
we
played beautifully for the first 20 minutes. We're up 12-0, and then I think we ended up losing 16-12. And we had so much time on attack at the end, but just couldn't bring anything cohesive together, and it was just shit house. Yes. Roger Tuivasa-Sheck was out there. Playing in...
The commentators of Super Rugby like... Well, John Kirwan likes League. He played for the Warriors. I saw him play for the Warriors back in the day.
I wish we could have this. Our scrums be a little bit more like theirs.
The reason I made that video, I was a little bit ticked off.
The one that got me, though, the point you made, beyond the scrum stuff, I can empathize with. Like, I'm not a massive scrum fan. Like, I don't want you to change the rules about scrums. I don't, like, it's...
You would like to see it done a bit faster.
I'd like to see them a bit faster. They suck up a lot of time. They're not particularly entertaining. And the penalties at scrum time piss me off.
Right.
Like, either way. What I would like to see is the scrum stay exactly the same, but penalties are gone and they're free kicks. Because they're not intentional fouls. They're fouls that are just made through lack of strength and ability. You know, if you knock a ball on, that's made because you made an error. Like, you did a lack of talent. Like, and it's a free kick. You know, no, it's a knock on. I would like free kicks instead of penalties. Nah, that's what I would like.
I can't take that, but anyway.
Let's just watch 20 minutes of scrums. Let's just don't change anything about the rest of the game. And then, like, well, let's just make it League. League does not have breakdowns. League does not have lineouts. League has, it's like, six tackles. There are so many differences. The scrum is not the defining flipping factor of rugby.
But it's one of them.
It's just
having a big scrum as a weapon is such a cool part of the game.
Is it cool?
Yeah, you see a team who's cutting the other team up and they knock the ball on, and you're like, oh, you're in trouble here because you're going to get monstered.
If you can get monstered and the guy's under pressure and he fumbles at the front and then it's a knock on the other way, that's fine. And I'm not saying that don't take anything away from the scrums. Keep them exactly the same. I just don't want people to win games with scrums. Like, I just don't. It's just boring. And we've...
No. I can't take it. I'm afraid. Sorry.
Boring.
That's not.
Let's go again, boys. Can we make sure we're standing on the mic? Keep your body height high when we're going in. Apparently then... I think you went down before the other guy. I'm not really sure. And it's just guesswork a lot of the time. There's a lot of dark arts to it and stuff.
I think part of it is genuinely we don't get insights into what's going on there.
Yeah.
Like, the commentators the commentators will just be like, well, I'm a winger. I don't know what's going on there. It's a lottery.
I've never been in a scrum in my life. There was actually
one of the sports that I watch from time to time.
Yes.
Is a bit of the old sumo wrestling.
And we've talked about this.
Yes. Now, sumo, if you're looking for a sport with stoppage, is virtually no action.
Yes.
And like a minute, if you're lucky, of action. Like, the guys walk out into the ring, they get kind of announced, they do their records, what's their win-loss record for this tournament, and then they faff about in the ring doing all the ceremonial salt throwing and stuff, and then there's like, they do like 30 seconds of pushing and shoving.
It's grandeur. It's ceremony.
Off. Yeah, it's mostly ceremony.
Yeah.
It's like more stoppage than the NFL.
Right.
Like, it's a slower thing to watch. But when the guys are coming in for their contest...
You look like you're holding a couple of sweaty balls.
They talk about, like... This guy against this guy, like, what's their head-to-head record? This guy dominated. Like, this guy's got a positive record this tournament. This guy's a negative. But this guy in negative, when he fights this guy, he usually wins. And he usually wins by grabbing his belt and pulling him out. Like, because they measure how did you win. Did you push a guy out? Did you flip him? Did you trip him? Like, there's all these various ways to win. I feel like if rugby... had that kind of Ethan de Groot, he's a great scrummager, but oh geez, he struggles when he's up against, you know, this guy from the Reds or whatever, you know what I mean?
They don't
do that at all. They just go, boom, I don't know what's going on. They fell down to the ground.
2 points, like, that was one of the most interesting parts of the full contact episode with the Irish, what's his
Porter.
Name? Porter, when he was talking about Antino, they actually build that clash.
Yes.
And like, this guy's a monster.
Yes.
He's so hard to, and that was, gave you that kind of, that kind of context. And there was one, an analyst who's done it well, the English guy who sadly got cancer. I think he's okay now. What's his name? And he was fantastic, Lucid prop, I think. Do you know the guy, the English guy? And he did some YouTube breakdowns. I think they got taken off YouTube.
Oh, really?
Where he'd be like, this guy's pulling his left shoulder in. And he was like going into the minutia of the movements. Yeah. And he said, you can see here, he's actually squeezing in tight to make a second effort here. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, that's actually really interesting. See, I think
if rugby had that, if they actually told you and had experts telling you what was going on, I think it would be a more entertaining thing instead of just, well, I don't know what's going on.
It's collapsed again. I guess we've got to start
this. Yeah, well, I mean, Wildcard did a video about it, a big rant about it. It was fantastic. And he talks about the NFL and that. And like the NFL does that kind of stuff well. It does the stoppage commentary well about what each team's planning, about what they're doing and their moves and stuff. Like, I don't watch much NFL, but they make the stoppage part entertaining enough.
All the pundits are backs.
Yeah.
There's very few pundits that are forwards.
Yeah, I know.
Like, and that's and a problem less, with the game, I think. There's less pundits that are front rowers.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so maybe that's part of the problem too.
I feel like it is.
Can you name a Moore, Brian Moore. He was a prop. Yeah. Oh, he's a hooker.
Hooker, yeah.
Sean Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, there's not many. Even he's more of a pundit than like a live commentary guy. Yeah. So, yeah. But yeah, I do feel like it's an area rugby just kind of lazies out on. Just like, oh, well. Like, I love, like, there's one guy in England, Austin Healey, who's a real, like, people hate him because he's a real prick and he's real negative. But I love it when he's on commentary if, like, he always thinks he's right, which kind of pisses me off. Like, he'll see someone, like, you know, pass it. He's like, oh, he should have held it there.
Is that the guy who tried to pick a fight with Squish?
Yeah. So. But every now and again, he'll like look at the way the back line is set and be like, this is what I think they're going to do. They're going to do this. And like then you see it happen. And you're like, bro, that's the kind of stuff that adds value to the commentary.
Yeah.
So.
And sometimes they do get it right.
Like, yeah.
Because they are ex-players at a high, very, very high level.
But anyway, yeah.
The one that got me, though, that you mentioned was, what's the name of that?
Joey Wheeler.
Joey Wheeler going, talking about Patchell with his offload. And I thought that was your key point. Like,
he just doesn't.
That's the arrogance. Like, and we can be guilty of it. Like, New Zealanders play a very attractive style of rugby, and we're taught about, you know, ball in hand, draw the man. Yeah. Like, you know, keep the ball alive. Yeah. Da, da, da. Not to the level of Fiji or anything like that, but like.
But that's the thing that pissed me off. Reece Patchell is not the stereotypical, what we would consider Northern Hemisphere 10. No. He played for the Scarlets, who are a really attacking team. So the idea that he's just like, oh, he's Welsh, he must like always There's kick for the
zero,
corner.
Zero research.
He just doesn't know who he is.
Zero.
Yeah.
That's lazy, isn't it?
Yeah, I find that annoying.
Yes. Well, on that bombshell.
Anyway, I need to pee.
I do too. Race you to it. Anyway, thank you very much for watching this podcast.
It was on Spotify, if you listen to it.
iHeartRadio.
Apple Podcasts.
Wherever else you get your podcast. Look, he's already taken away. See you later, everybody. Bye-bye.